Welcome to Beyond Grit, the podcast that seeks to create and foster a community of people who want to learn, develop, and employ the 10 powerful practices to gain a high-performance edge. Whether you're an athlete, a parent, a coach, or just someone looking to improve yourself, the Beyond Grit podcast shows you step-by-step how to reach your peak potential. The Beyond Grit podcast is based on the book Beyond Grit, written by Sindra Kampoff, PhD, founder, and CEO of Mentally Strong Consulting, and a professor at Minnesota State University, Mankato. Sindra, a keynote speaker and entrepreneur, is also a certified mental performance coach for professional athletes, executives, and championship teams from around the nation, including the NFL's Minnesota Vikings. Sindra's co-host is Tim McNiff, Emmy Award-winning news and sports journalist, strategic communications consultant, and storyteller for the National Sports Center. This is the Beyond Grit Podcast.
Hi there, everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of the Beyond Grit Podcast. I'm Tim McNiff, along with the one and only long-distance Dr. Sindra Kampoff. Normally, I'm talking to you from the Twin Cities, and you are down in lovely Mankato, Minnesota. Where do we find you this week, Doctor?
Today, I'm in Portland, Maine. I've never been to Maine before, so it was pretty cool, and I'm here delivering a 3-day workshop to the executives at Consolidated Communications. So I'm excited to be here, but I'm excited to be with you too today in terms of, like, I'm glad we're able to stay on track with the podcast.
Amen. So let's stay with where you are and what you're doing. So what does that look like if somebody wanted to work with you in a business sense?
Yeah. So in this case, I'm here for 3 days and we're covering the 10 practices of the world's best. So we're actually covering some of the content that we've been talking about on the podcast so far. We're really kind of the goal is to be an intentional leader. So how can we lead ourselves before we can lead others, and understand what does that mean? What does our leadership vision mean? What is our purpose? How do we manage our emotions? How do we have courage to be brave and to be our best self? So it's a pretty awesome event because you get to really get to know people at a deeper level. So usually I do, you know, like anywhere from a one hour keynote to a day, and this is like 3 days.
Wow. So is this day one?
This is day one. So I got two more days.
So how long did you work? What did day one kind of in a 10,000 foot view of the breakdown of the outline for day one?
So we covered the first two practices of the world's best because that's pretty deep. So we talked about grit and how do we cultivate our grit? How do we get clear on what we want and why that is important? And then we talked about purpose and why we do what we do. And we wrote our purpose statement. So by the end, we're actually going to make our grit board, which is something that I encourage everyone who's listening to do as well. And some of the main things we're going to put on the grit board is like our purpose, our goals, our empowering emotions, our power phrases, our courage zone activities to kind of help us refocus and just have like this visual reminder of trying to be our best selves every day.
You know, and from a time frame, you started at what time this morning and ended with the people that you're working with at what time?
We started at 9 a.m. and we ended at 4. So we had 3 days of that. Yeah, so we're going to go dinner tonight here on the harbor. So I'm looking forward to it.
On the harbor.
On the harbor, yeah.
And you can have lobster.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I've never been to Maine, so I'm envious. I've heard it's beautiful, and I hope you have a wonderful experience. I know you're going to help a lot of people.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. It reminds me a lot of Boston. I love the Boston Marathon. I ran it 15 times, so just the aura and like the homes and just it's beautiful in New England.
You're in the same hood, right? Where are they as far as leaf change?
Oh, same as Minnesota.
So they're kind of past peak.
Past peak, yep. Except not everything has died here. So like the mums are still beautiful in Minnesota. Mine have died.
So, yeah, right.
I think it's warmer. I brought my winter jacket here and I haven't needed it. So I think it's actually warmer than in Minnesota.
Well, I hope you don't need it. If you get away from Minnesota, you should get a little break in the weather. And I sincerely hope that you get that. So we are here for podcast number 8. We are, as far as where we are, we're about to go to chapter 8. Obviously, we're going through 10 practices and 52 chapters. And Cinder referred to the practices. We are into the second practice, right?
Yes.
Yep, we started the second practice last time. And before we move on to our, what's going on back there? You got your dog with you? What am I listening to?
I have no dog today.
Are you sure you're not hearing what I'm hearing? Oh, I don't know if I'm hearing feedback. It sounded like there was something barking or something on that end. Like you had some sort of wild dogs in your room or something.
I think it might have been the refrigerator.
Good luck sleeping tonight. All right, so chapter 7, own your why. We always review the week before because we have homework assigned with that. And with that one, we probably assigned our most extensive amount of homework so far. And because we assigned the so that exercise, and then looking at the general homework at the end of it, I mean, I don't tend to tell you what to do, but last week I kind of did, and I said, I think we should assign all four actions as a result of that so that exercise. So that was a lot of asking of people, but there's a good reason for it, correct?
Yes, and so we had people consider what are the different reasons that they do what they do, because we don't just have one reason why we do what we do. And then we encourage people to post it somewhere they could see it, that list of so that's. And we ask them to think about, well, good comes from the work that I do. Why do I do it? So that. And then we encourage people to share their why with someone each day this week. So we're hopeful that you did that. And I think if you did or if you didn't, you know, working on it this week. But I think the power of that is, I see it, Tim. So tell us about a few of your prompts.
Yeah. So what I want people to know is that Cinder actually lays it out and gives you hers. And I got through the first couple, and then I started looking at yours to see, for example. So I tried not to be verbatim steal them, but yeah,
sure.
One of them, you know, I say I want to be a good role model in grit and perseverance for my daughters. And you had said a similar thing for your sons. So, you know, I said, I want to be recognized and respected coach, consultant, and influencers so that I can help others reach their full potential, so that I can help others overcome obstacles in their own life, so that I can continue to learn and grow to the benefit of others and the community at large, so that I can inspire positive change in others, so that I can be a role model in grit and perseverance for my daughters, and so that I can leave this world knowing that I did my best to help others along the way.
Outstanding. So one thing I might encourage you to do is put a star by the one that's most important to you. And just circle the one that if you wanted to remind yourself of on a tough day, what would that be?
Yeah, I think it's the last one kind of encompasses all of it. So I think that would probably be so that I can leave this world knowing that I did my best to help others along the way. I mean, we always do that thing where you say, you even said, In the chapter, I think, if you had 6 months to live, or maybe I was looking at it number 8, we're about to get into, you know, how would you live that, spend that time? And yeah, if I only had like one day or whatever it was, I mean, you want to make sure the legacy is written, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, this is kind of a good segue to chapter 8, which is find your fight. And that's one of the questions that I ask you to consider at the end. If you found out that you only had 6 months to live, you know, what would be your plans, and are they same or different than what you're doing right now? If not, I think it's about, you know, making some changes. And those changes can be really scary for people. And maybe they're like small changes over time to help you kind of live out your purpose and live out your why.
So my job here is to kind of facilitate conversation and to give people an example of sort of someone going through this the same way they're going to. But I also want to highlight the work that you've done. And here I am in going to chapter 8, and I kind of shortchanged you in the content that you've been giving out to people along the way, and you haven't complained. But at the end of every chapter, at the end of the homework, you have the My High Performance Game Plan, and then you have what is kind of like the assigned homework. And then at the bottom of the page, Cinder always has a high performance power phrase, which is designed to help you. And I guess I get caught up in the homework and I've been skipping over those, and I don't think that I should be. So I want to, first of all, apologize to you and thanks for putting up with me. But you have at the end of chapter 7, my high performance power phrase, I own my why. I keep my why front and center each day. I communicate my why to keep myself and others inspired. So my question is, as the woman that wrote the book and came up with the content, how often do you go back and use those?
I would say I frequently use power phrases throughout my day. And I have a list of them that I say to myself every morning to kind of keep me focused and really keep me deliberate. I change those up based on how do I want to show up? What do I want to focus on? Kind of what do I want to attract in my life? So I use them pretty regularly. And I love this one in particular. Like, I own my why. That means you just don't know it, but you own it. You live it. You tell other people about it. You communicate your why to keep yourself and others inspired. And even just hearing yours, like when you listed them off, Tim, like you're so that's, like, that's inspiring. You know, and sometimes we don't realize that, like, just by sharing the reason we do what we do with other people, it can inspire other people and help them live their best life too.
Well, I really like the so that exercise, because you take us, you know, kind of what is your purpose and then the why, you know, and yes. Are you doing that? Are you being authentic in it? So when you are changing your power phrases, or like, say you're coming to this conference, would you specifically choose power phrases for each day? And will you then now tonight, will you pick your power phrases for tomorrow? Or do you do that first thing in the morning? What does your process look like?
So I keep them pretty consistent. So it might be like this month, this is kind of what I'm saying, you know, to myself when I wake up in the morning. And I have it on a note card just by my bed. So I'm really thinking about, where do I want my focus? Where do I want my attention? Where do I want my thoughts at in general this month? But like tomorrow morning, it'll be, you know, I'm telling myself what I do is valuable and what I do is important. And I'm really there to serve. And so those are the kind of things that I'm thinking about tomorrow, just so that I can be present and I'm not overthinking in my own head what I'm doing, that I can be more as like a servant for them.
So as you're changing, growing, developing, and your power phrases are changing too, do they also change like during the course of the day, perhaps depending upon the events? Does that help you snap out of maybe whatever cycle you might have gone into based on, I got a flat tire or somebody did something really crappy to me in public? And is that how you reset yourself?
Yes. Yeah. So we're going to talk in practice number 3, which will be coming up, about like some examples of how to set your power phrases. But that's really important because there's so many things that we can't control in our life. And if we get sucked into other people's negativity or to events that we can't control. And it's easy to think like, why me, you know, and to think really negatively and disempowering when that kind of stuff happens. But if you're the person that snaps quicker and asks yourself a more empowering question and state a more powerful phrase, it'll help you kind of move past that difficulty more quickly.
Got it. All right. So on to chapter 8.
Let's go.
Okay. Chapter 8, find your fight. And what you do in every chapter is you take somebody and you use them as an example and you tell a story about them and how they kind of got through to the point, the message you're trying to give. And in the chapter 8, you choose a real heavyweight and an icon in American business.
Yeah. So I didn't realize this about Steve Jobs, but he dropped out of Reed College. And he talked about this in his commencement speech in 2005, and he dropped out of Reed College only after 6 months. He said that he really didn't want to be wasting his working parents' money because he wasn't really sure what he wanted to do. And after he dropped out, he said, you know, I'm only going to take classes in things that I'm really fascinated about, only things that really followed his passion and purpose. And what's crazy is that one of these classes that he took was a class on calligraphy. Okay, I don't know if there's classes still on calligraphy out there, but when he took that class, it actually, you know, 10 years later, when he was, you know, he's the co-founder of the Macintosh company, the Mac company, you know, that makes our Macs, that taking this course was really essential for them to develop their first product, because they developed this beautiful typography that made it really different than other computers. And in this commencement speech, this is what he said, Tim. He said, you've got to find what you love. And the only way to truly be satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. If you haven't found it yet, keep looking, don't settle. And I love that question. He also said in that commencement speech, he said, you know, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I'm about to do today? And he says, you know, if there was several days in a row that he said no, then he knew he needed to change something. And I think that's powerful. You know, when I was thinking about our podcast today, like I asked myself that question, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I'm about to do today? And I think I would, right? Like I think I'm on track in terms of doing what I am passionate about, what I'm supposed to be doing, kind of like my calling. But you know, if there's several days in a row that you would say no to that, then you know that's where maybe you gotta start thinking about what can I do in my life so that I'm really excited about what I'm doing.
So I have a young man, the son of a guy I went to high school with, a former high school football teammate, and he had reached out to me previously a couple of years ago. Since graduated, got a job, and has since gone through one or two jobs, and is in the process of looking for another. And we talked about, you know, what do you really want to do? And so we talked about that, and he actually ended up getting an interview at a place for something he thought that he really wanted to do and was very excited about it. And I replied to him and I said, this is great. This is, this is you, your persistence has paid off. And look, we made a plan and you worked on your messaging and now you got this. And then he came back to me and said, yeah, the money's not really what I was hoping for. I need a certain level of whatever it is, whatever. So that's not really an option for me. And I said, look, I get it, but I just want you to know that in 1988, I took a job for $2.65 an hour with the limit, a cap of 25 hours. And over 300 people applied for that job. And I took it and I got it. And I said, 6 years later, I was making six figures in the same field. Mm. So you don't necessarily have to stay where you are. But do you love what you do? For me, that was a job I just knew I wanted. It was a passion for me. And I thought, I always had this belief, false or otherwise, that that's what I was supposed to be doing. And I could do it better than anybody else out there. And that was going into sports broadcasting. And so I was losing money, to do that job. I mean, it was, I had to find other ways to supplement my income. It cut in all my social time. But I mean, but I knew that wasn't where I was going to end up, but I knew I needed it to get where I needed to go.
Yeah. And what do you feel like you are fighting for at that point?
A start, a foothold. I mean, I knew it took an endorsement from somebody I had interned for to put me, to differentiate me from the 300 plus other people that applied for that job. I mean, I knew what the state of the industry was at the time. It was really almost like slave labor, but you took it because you needed the jobs to put something on tape to show people that you could actually do the job. And in a couple months later, the place where I'd interned for had me coming back and 8 months. I was only on that job for 8 months and they asked me to come back and start filling in on their news, which led to my first full-time job. And then that place asked me to come back 3 years after that. So within, I had two raises from that point when I came back. And within 6 years, I was making six figures in that field. Wow. And I would have done it for less at that time, but I was happy to take the money that they were paying me for what I was doing.
Yeah. I think sometimes we have to make sacrifices to get what we want. Right. And that can be really hard, really scary. It makes me think about practice number 10, which we'll eventually get to, Tim, about choosing courage over comfort. And people need to make the right decisions for them. But the great example of like, you know, taking something that's going to lead to something better later on.
But, you know, for me, it really wasn't even a sacrifice because I wanted to do that job so much. Okay. I couldn't wait to go to work. I couldn't wait to be there and doing that. You know, it was the rest of the time I was like, oh man, I wish I could go back to work and earn my $2.65 an hour. You know, you don't want to tell them that you're happy with that, but for me, I really would have been. So
our passion and our job can overlap, you know, that's a sweet spot, but many times people like it doesn't. And so, you know, even as you're listening, you know, think about to yourself, like, what are you fighting for in, you know, your home life? What are you fighting for? Yep. Not just in business, what are you fighting for on your team? And maybe like as an athlete, you might be fighting for that conference championship or that state championship that your team has never got, right? Or that scholarship that you'd really would love to have. So I think, you know, you can apply this not just to your career, but you can apply it to other things. Like, what are you fighting for as a parent? What are you fighting for as a high school athlete? And how can you continue to stay passionate about it?
And staying with what you're saying, but working back to where I was going with the two, the last thing you say in the chapter is, you're way too important to just be going throughout your day in life without passion, purpose, and full engagement. And that's what I was trying to say to this young man was, I know you need money, but is that what drives you? And if it is, great. But that's not what I heard. You know, I heard you wanted to do this other thing, you know, and it may not pay you. And Jobs was talking about that, I think, too. You know, if you were, you know, is this what I want to be doing if this was my last day? So
exactly.
It's a hard one to know how to advise a young person, you know, kind of which way to go on that one.
Right.
Because maybe they don't have the same passion. But what are you fighting for? And then remind yourself of that, of why you're doing it, because it goes back to what we talked about last chapter, not only knowing your why, but owning it.
Yeah. And I think by asking yourself, you know, what are you fighting for? It connects you back to your purpose and maybe gives you more clarity on that. But like, for example, you know, as a teacher, maybe you're fighting for innovative education. Maybe as a parent, you're fighting for opportunities for your kids that you never had, right? Like that's sometimes what I fight for my kids. And I think, you know, for me, Tim, when I ask myself that question, you know, for me, it's like I'm fighting for just the better understanding of mindset and the importance that mindset has on our daily lives and giving people really practical strategies on how to deal with that. Because I feel like I didn't have that for, particularly when I was a college athlete. Oof, man, I struggled because I had no idea how to manage this. And sometimes I even, you know, struggle and I know all of it, you know, so that's what I'm fighting for. As a female in this business, that's, you know, a lot of my work is in sport, but even in business, you know, like there's less female speakers than there are male speakers. You know, there's less women working in high level sport for sure than men, you know, so I'm fighting for that too. And just the opportunities that, that women can have. So what are your thoughts? What do you feel like you're fighting for?
I'll tell you what, my fight has changed. I mean, because as I have aged, I have for the first time in my life find myself a minority. You know, and now I'm like, oh no, I'm still young and I'm still vital and you can listen to me. And I mean, just because I look a different way than I used to, that doesn't make me any less knowledgeable than I used to.
I think it makes you more knowledgeable, more wise.
But now I can hear the people out there saying, okay, boomer, the millennials saying that, which is kind of this, you know, the statement right now, but you want to stay. And I'm like, oh, don't judge me on my looks, which is something I know I've been guilty of with other people my whole life. So now maybe it's just a lesson I had to experience. I mean,
yes.
You hear it, you know, but this is it.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm fighting to stay relevant. I'm fighting to stay out there and I want to help people. But I also, I'm too young to just like go play golf or sit in a chair or something, you know, I'm not ready to cash it in at all. I mean, I'm all about engagement and purpose. And so that's what I'm fighting for. And I don't need to be reminded. Sometimes I get the reminders, but I'm not really, I don't need it. You know, I feel like I'm pretty charged up every day to go out and do what I'm doing because, you know, it's like with you, when you see someone you're working with have success or succeed, that's all you need. I mean, just to get that, I mean, it just makes your day.
It makes my day. I had a few athletes that I work with at the high school level who ran in the state meet yesterday, or not yesterday, but this weekend.
Saturday.
Minnesota, and then some in Ohio. And it was so fun because I get these text messages, you know, that it's like, oh my God, I got 13th. I'm so happy, you know, and it's like, wow, that's why you do the work that you do, you know? So I love that. I love that. And if you focus on what you're fighting for, I think you show up in a different way than just kind of going through the motions. And I like what you said about you're way too important just to go through the motions, right? You're way too important not to be fulfilled and passionate and excited about what you're doing. So thinking about what you're fighting for helps you keep kind of dive deep at a deeper level to your why and your purpose.
So let's go on to the homework for this week for chapter 8.
So I encourage everyone to write down what they're fighting for in a note card. And keep it close to them for this week and see how it changes how you show up. But ask yourself, what are you fighting for? And put it on a note card and keep it close to you. See what happens.
Okay. And your high performance power phrase, which may I read it?
Yes.
I find my fight. I remind myself every day what I'm fighting for. I stay purposeful and passionate about my life, work, and family. And that is your high performance power phrase, and I'm not going to miss those anymore. So I apologize about that.
I love it. So yeah, and the way that you could use it, if it's, you know, if you feel a connection to the power phrase, again, put it on a note card, remind yourself of it. Keep it close to you, you know, throughout your week, just to kind of help you remind yourself to show up in that way or keep your focus on that kind of idea.
And with that, we roll into our gritty person of the week. Do you have someone in mind?
I do. My gritty person of the week, her name is Desi Linden. And maybe you've heard of her before. In 2018, she won the Boston Marathon. And Sunday, she was the sixth woman to finish the Boston Marathon, or the New York City Marathon, excuse me, and the first American. And what I love about her, why she's my gritty person of the week, is she went for it. And she was leading the race for part of it. And she had this tweet afterwards that she said, you know, her mantra, her power phrase was swing away. Okay. And she said, a mission accomplished. I swung away, but I died. <She's>, but also I didn't actually die, and that's valuable.
Nice.
Oh, I love her humor. I love that she just went for it. And so many times we don't. We just kind of give into like the what ifs, or we get into, you know, this worry that we might not be able to last and sustain. But she's gritty, my gritty person of the week, because she went for her goal and put herself out there. So congratulations, Desi, and all the other people who finished the New York City Marathon, both men and women, on Sunday.
Nice. So my gritty person of the week is Minnesota Timberwolves forward Carl Anthony Towns. And
love it.
If you watched the news last night, you probably saw this. They're playing a game in Philadelphia, and they were losing pretty good. And it was late in the third quarter, and he was in the lane, started pushing with another guy by the name of Joel Embiid, and push came to shove. And next thing you know, they're rolling around on the floor. And I applaud Carl Anthony Towns for this. And we've reached this age and stage where you almost can't. I think there's almost a fear of applauding someone for getting physical with someone else. But this is pro basketball, and Embiid has kind of had his way with Carl Anthony Towns in the past, and he's kind of let him hear about it on the court and in social media. He's bullied him. And the word had gotten around the NBA that Carl Anthony Towns was soft. And so Towns said, coming into this season, I'm putting all that behind me. I'm ready to be the leader of this team, and I'm ready to do whatever it takes to be the leader of this team. He was coming off just being named the conference player of the month, and they had won, you know, their first three games, which no one expected, and or the week, rather, and they won the three games. And so they get into this thing, and I was proud of Carl Anthony Towns for standing his ground and standing up to him. And then after the game, it went back to social media. They went back and forth, and Embiid got really foul again. And I applaud Carl Anthony Towns for not going there and kind of letting it go and just talking about, hey, it was just hard, passionate basketball. That's what you saw. The other guy got personal and started saying some things. So Embiid's still trying to be the bully. And they don't play again till March. I know people make a big deal out of it beforehand, but I think we already know more about Carl Anthony Towns, and we will know a lot more about him in March, that won't be anything he's pointing towards, or will that game define him? But I think you've seen that he showed all of his teammates, and I think if you're a sports fan, he wasn't just saying what he said going into the season. It's not just about, you know, he's going to do whatever it takes to lead this team. And in that instance, that's what was required. Push back.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. And Tim, I'm pumped for next week when we're talking about purpose. We're actually going to write our purpose statement. So that's one more reason people should keep on tuning in.
There's a ton of reasons why they should keep tuning in. Why would they want to miss this?
Exactly.
To you. All right. Well, listen, I want you to have a great conference out there. I want you to travel safely. And I know you're going to help a lot of people. And you help a lot of people through this podcast. And once again, thank you for allowing me to go on this journey with you.
And thank you, Tim. Thanks for coming up with the idea and getting us started. And I appreciate you and everything that you have done for the National Sports Center and how you're showing up every week to deliver some awesome content to the listeners.
Thanks, Doc. We want to thank you for joining us. The Beyond Grit podcast seeks to help you reach your peak potential. Check out this and other great content on the NSC blog page, which is, of course, Beyond the Bench, where you can leave us your questions and comments. Dr. Kamphoff, who's in Maine right now. I'm Tim McNiff. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, stay gritty, everybody.
Stay gritty.
Thank you for engaging with the Beyond Grit podcast, where we help you reach your peak potential. You can find past episodes and other great content on the NSE blog page, Beyond the Bench, where you can also post your questions and comments. The Beyond Grit podcast is a production of the National Sports Center and Beyond the Bench.